welcome back to Starcastic Remarks, the only Dallas Stars fan-led podcast. I'm Ryan, here with Chris.
Howdy.
And what a game. I still feel really ticked off after that game.
This was the least stressful Stars game in a while for me, actually. Because even though it ended with only a one goal lead, we kind of had two goals for most of the game at least. So that was good.
At the end of the first period, I think I was really ticked off. From then on until the end of the game, and we'll get into that here in a second. But what we want to talk about a couple of things. One really sad note and one really happy note. I guess we'll start with the sad news. Mr. Chadwick Boseman passed away a couple days ago, or was it yesterday? It might have been yesterday. He passed away from cancer. A couple days. So a couple days from when you guys hear this. He was only 43. And to lose someone like that, especially with the big name and the people that he represented, and especially for the black community, it's a really sad loss for the black community and also just for the world in general.
Yeah, he played really big roles in a couple of my favorite movies. Obviously, the Marvel stuff. I love Marvel. And he also was Jackie Robinson in the movie 42, which was one of my favorite baseball movies. So, pretty sad.
Well, and we just want to hope, if they ever listen to us, which I don't think they would, but we just want to let them know that we're sitting here praying for them right now and with all they've had to go through. And, you know, honestly, we saw nothing, no hint that he even had cancer. The only kind of hints that we might have had, if people were really looking for it, was looking at the pictures on Twitter. So he was getting absolutely roasted on Twitter because he very rarely posted, especially recently, over the past month or two. And he was getting roasted for how skinny he was looking. And that just goes to show you, you never know
what's going on with somebody.
Yeah, and like, I can't imagine. Like, imagine being one of those trolls now, and you're thinking, like, oh, crap. I can't believe I said that about him on Twitter.
Yeah.
And, you know, just prayers out to him and prayers out to his family.
Be nice to people always.
Right. You just got to be kind, guys. Seriously. And we're really going to miss him. And, we'll just leave it at that, and we'll pray for
all
his
right.
family.
Back to the now, happy note.
Now, back to the happy note. This is a cool thing. El Paso, Texas won Kraft Hockeyville USA.
Yes.
How cool is that? I'm getting chills on my spine right now. How freaking cool is that?
It's super awesome seeing how much the sport has grown just like in the past couple years in Texas. Because like the Winter Classic, huge blow up of everything. I've never seen so many Stars fans in one place. I didn't think that many hardcore fans existed. It was crazy seeing that much green in that stadium that day. And then just our attendance numbers have been some of the highest in the league this past season and the season before, actually. And then this on top of it is just super cool. I know I was there just spamming the vote button like all day the day it opened. I voted at least 1,000 times, I bet.
Yeah, likewise, me too. I'm not joking. I think I voted about 2,000 times. I don't know about you, Chris, but about 2,000 times is probably what I would guess.
Yeah,
I pushed the button a lot, yeah. So they, as winners of Kraft Hockeyville USA, for those of you that didn't know, it was a contest between El Paso and then three other communities. I believe the other communities were East Grand Forks, Minnesota, Wichita, Kansas, and River Falls, Wisconsin. So there's two
big hockey markets.
Right. Yeah. So Minnesota and Wisconsin. So the fact that the El Paso community showed up for that, or, you know, even just Texans in general showed up for that and gave them the money, that's awesome. They win $150,000 in rink upgrades. That is going to be huge.
Awesome for Texas hockey. Really just shows what's happened to the sport recently. Super cool.
And I'm really excited for this because, you know, I live out in West Texas, just south of Odessa, for those of you that don't know. So that's actually kind of close to me. So with El Paso winning, you got to think that, you know, Dallas is probably going to play a preseason game there It's got to be Dallas, right?
That has been the
tradition. It has to be Dallas.
It's going
to
be Dallas, I bet. They might do Arizona. Maybe Dallas and Arizona. That would make sense.
That would be cool.
But also, a side fringe benefit, I get to watch a Dallas Stars preseason game. Yes.
Right. It will be telecast live on TV. On NBC.
Telecast on TV.
Telecast on TV. Sorry, I've been using the word telecast a lot with my job. So, y'all don't care about that, so I won't talk about that. Okay, anyways, so let's talk about the game today. Like I said, I was mostly ticked off through about 40 minutes of the game. What's your overall take on this?
I don't know why you're ticked off. I liked the game. It was fun to watch. It was awesome jumping ahead 3 goals, obviously. We were super dominant the first period. It was more Colorado was bad than we were good. Like, we still were decent. I mean, we looked fine. We looked like we were playing well. But, like, we didn't look like we were super dominant. But Colorado was playing terrible. France, though, was not good. And we take advantage in the first period, which was awesome.
Yeah, they did not show up in that first period, the Avs. They absolutely did not. And, you know, I'm going to go back to this. They didn't play a full 60 minutes in this game. I think they played a better overall 60 minutes in Game 3 and lost compared to this game where I think we played for 15 minutes of the first period and then maybe about the last 10 minutes in the middle 10 minutes of the third period.
And, I think the whole period was pretty good after Roope Hintz's goal on the power play, but we'll talk about that later. Well, in the first period, I think we kind of did what Colorado failed to do in Game 2. So in Game 2, when they had 20 shots in the first period of the game and they just had Dallas on their heels, they only scored one goal. And it comes back and bites them in the butt and Dallas wins the game. That could have very well happened this game, too. Dallas was obviously on them the whole time, but they don't let up at one goal, and they don't have a hot goaltender to stop them, and we score 3 goals, and that really set the tone for the whole game. It's Colorado trying to scramble back, and they're not a built team to do that like the Dallas Stars are.
Yeah, and Doby played well that game. I don't think he was as strong today, but the Stars bailed him out today. So and also
good.
Kale McCarr.
He was pretty good today still too. Yeah, Kale McCarr was pretty, yeah. Ha. If you think McCarr is better than Haskinen, just watch that clip. But anyway, yeah. I think Dobby did play a good game today. He had a couple big saves. Obviously, the Nichushkin shot was kind of ridiculous. Pretty lazy play there, but that would kind of offset the McCarr goal. But he played well overall. If you get rid of the stupid one, it's 3 goals, so not terrible.
You know, sorry, a random interesting fact. I just saw on Twitter that Marc-Andre Fleury is actually in for Las Vegas tonight for goal. That'll be interesting. I know, right? Yeah, it's the first time he's been in a while. Anyways, okay, so let's talk about one of the things that why I was ticked off through like 2/3 of the game.
Go for it.
The freaking penalties, man.
Oh yeah, that was frustrating.
You know, I think I felt what the Colorado Avalanche felt that other game when they said that they were not getting any penalty calls or anything, and yet they still had like 8 power plays and we had like 4 or 5 or something like that.
Yeah, that's true, but the Stars make it pay for the Avalanche. 3 power play goals, that's pretty exceptional.
Right. But there were
calls that could have been made. And then some ticky-tacky ones that were called on us.
Right, and then even there were the ticky-tacky ones that were called on Colorado.
Yeah, those are actually more frustrating.
Like, yeah, and it's just like, why are you giving us the power plays when that's not a penalty? Like, I forgot which one it was. I'd have to look it up. But there was one penalty that they had that I was just like, that's looking at Colorado. I'm like, I'm sorry, that's not a penalty, and it was absolutely just for retribution for all of the missed calls that the refs had. And you know me, I'm not a huge person to get mad at the refs, and I've almost never gotten mad at the refs, but there were just, especially in that first period, there were just so many stinking missed calls that I was just sitting there like, you know, we could have like 7 or 8 power plays right now, and then none of them And I this would have been absolutely worse if Colorado had tied this game, was that last play that McKinnon had on Hintz. When Hintz basically had an open net, and he had to step on Nathan McKinnon. Nathan McKinnon basically grabbed him and pulled him back and shoved him down. And I don't, and there was no call on that. That there was no call on that, and I stood up and yelled, and I was like, that should have been the end of the game right there.
Yeah, we can get into some Nathan McKinnon favoritism along with that. There was multiple missed calls on Nathan McKinnon for, I think we know, obvious reasons, along with the one on Hintz skating down the ice to end the game on a breakaway, and the ref doesn't call it because he tripped him with his foot, like that's legal. And then we see on the replay, he did. He actually did trip him with his stick. But whatever, it's fine. It's Nathan McKinnon. We can't call penalties on him. And then the most ridiculous thing, the hit on Corey Perry was absolutely disgusting, and it was predatory. There's no way you can go back and watch that and think otherwise. The shoulder comes up into his head when he's turning. I understand the turnaway play, but your shoulder does not go up when you're turning when you're skating. It goes down. So that was absolutely a predatory, shoulder-to-the-face, disgusting hit. If Corey Perry does that, he's not in this game, and he's not in two more games after that, and we have a five-minute major. The fact that he gets a two-minute penalty for that is absolutely ridiculous, and I still think he should get a suspension, but if Corey Perry was hurt, he would no doubt be suspended for at least a game. Well, maybe not. He's Nathan McKinnon, so he does no wrong, so I don't know.
I'll disagree with you on that. Maybe at the most it could have been a 5-minute major, but I think the right call was made in the 2-minute minor.
I'm saying because of the predatory nature of it. Throwing a shoulder into somebody's chin, it's gross. I don't like it. I thought the hit was dirty when I saw it live, and I thought it was even worse when I saw it in replay. So that peed me off.
Well, the Jamie Benn hit also was pretty bad too. The illegal check to the head. At first, I was just like, I didn't see it, and so I had no idea what really happened. But when you go back and look at that, it looked pretty bad.
That one's not as bad, though, because the guy leaned into Jamie, and Jamie accidentally hits him in the head first. So, yes, I think it's a penalty, technically. It's always a weird call when they call hit to the head, because that never happens. But the guy's leaning forward to get a puck. Corey Perry is standing up straight and doesn't know where the puck is, and McKinnon throws a shoulder into his jawbone. It's honestly ridiculous.
Yeah, maybe the calling will be better tomorrow night, but there were just so many missed penalties that I felt like we could have taken advantage on. And instead of a 3-0 lead, maybe we would have a 4 or 5-0 lead.
Yeah, and like we said earlier, it's not just missed penalties. It's like they call these not penalties, and they don't call these penalties. and like especially when it would lead to a scoring chance for the Stars. Like that happened last game. It happened this game with Rope. So it's this officiating crew is really confusing me. I don't know what's up.
Well, and then nothing made me more frustrated when they gave Colorado a 5-on-3 power play.
I forgot. Okay, yes. That was the other thing I was so mad about.
Rant time.
I have never in my life of watching hockey seen two minors called on the same play. That does not happen. It was a regular hook and a regular interference call, and they called both of them. I've never seen that happen against the Stars or any other team in any game ever. That is absolutely asinine. It's giving them a goal. And that's why it's not called, because it is gifting the other team a goal when you give them 2 minutes of 5-on-3. Any team that's worth anything, and if they're in the quarterfinals, they're worth something, is going to score on a 5-on-3. So that was absolutely asinine. It was ridiculous. It frustrated me beyond belief.
Yeah, I agree. And that's just asking Colorado to get back into the game as well.
It's giving them a goal. There's no other way to say it. If Dallas gets a 2-minute 5-on-3, they're scoring. If the Canucks get a 5-on-3, they're scoring. Like it's terrible. You can't call that. It's not a good call.
Yeah, it's just not. That's when I was holding Maddie, my baby daughter, for those of you listening, and I told my wife, I was just like, Amanda, you're going to have to take her, because I was getting really mad. And I was just like, all right, I just need to chill out for a second. So I walked away after the second period and just kind of walked away. And then at that point, I was watching it recorded. So I kind of just let the intermission play, and gave myself some time to like chill out and think about it, and just hope that the stars came back, which they did.
Well, they didn't come back. They played better. Yes.
Well, they played. We know well, what that's, you meant. Yeah, that's what I meant. Like that second period was not good. And you know, honestly, I was thinking in the first period, it's like that first period looked like a video game. Like someone was controlling the Stars with their little controller, and then the computer was playing for Colorado on like the rookie difficulty setting. And it's just everything was going our way until like the last 2 minutes. I mean, we had like 10 shots on goal. They had nothing. We had 3 goals. We were getting all the power plays, all that sort of stuff. But anyways, I'm just glad they came back in the third period and actually started playing a little bit better. So anyways, let's look at some of the stats for tonight. Big game changer for the Stars tonight again, and I never thought I'd be saying this, but their power play is a huge difference maker in this game again.
3 power play goals. That was great. It was good to take advantage of. Colorado obviously was told that they needed to play chippier, and I don't think that was the correct decision made by their coach. I think they should have gone with their speed and tried to just ignore our physical play, but they obviously haven't. They've fallen into our trap and are trying to outmuscle us, and we make them pay for it. So I think that's definitely a great thing for us.
Well, the thing is, on that point is you're technically right. We are way better at the physical side of the game, but Colorado, they've got those running gun guys, you know, Nathan McKinnon, Kale McCarr, Mikko Rantanen, those guys that can skate really fast, but they still have some guys who can put the body on. I mean, they've got Edward Belmar, I think is his name. Belmar is his last name. I know that for sure. I remember when he played for Philadelphia, and the only reason I remember him is because he and Antoine Roussel are the only French players in the NHL right now. But they've got him. They've got O'Connor, who actually I thought had a really good game, and he was playing really well. The stats don't really show that, but you need somebody like that in your lineup. And then also Zadorov. Zadorov is a huge hitter for the Avalanche on their back end and their defense.
Yeah, but, and it's true that they do have those big guys, but that's obviously not the way they play hockey, right? Their way of playing hockey is they're trying to get stretch passes and they're trying to blow by people. And I think they did try and tell those guys specifically, because we did see more of them on the ice and them making their presence known by hitting and checking and forearms into the boards, which I saw a lot of. Did you notice that?
After yeah,
they were
yeah,
hitting
that
our defenseman, forearms into the that was gross. Just slamming their heads into the boards. I don't know what that was about, but we make them pay for it in the end, because they're obviously going to get more penalties if they're going to play that chippy the way we did. We got 8 penalties last game, so
yeah. Turn tables on them. How the tables have turned. Or what is it that Michael says in the office?
How the turntables. My gosh.
And
okay.
I forgot.
Next stat. Nathan McKinnon with the second most ice time on the entire team. A forward with the second most ice time on the entire team. The only guy with more ice time is McCarr, who gave us a goal. So
thank you, McCarr.
I think it is finally burning Nathan McKinnon on these games, because this game he did not look as fast. We didn't notice him blowing by people. He made a couple good plays, but he was more making good passes, which he's just in position for. He didn't really have any great stick handling dangles. He didn't make any great shots. He didn't really make any flashy plays like he did the first 3 games all over the place. So I think this much ice time is definitely hurting him. And like even the announcers pointed out that they were double shifting him into Chushkin's line just because they wanted him to play more. So it's pretty ridiculous how he's still alive at this point, in my opinion. I don't know how he can play forward shifts of an NHL hockey game at full speed for 22 minutes, but I think it's finally starting to wear on him.
Yeah, and the other thing is that just Nichushkin wasn't playing well either. I think that's – yes, I think you're right in the fact that they just wanted Nathan McKinnon to play more. Which, obviously, why would you not want Nathan McKinnon to play more? But Nichushkin, he has goals. Been
the... It's hard to say he played bad.
Well, this is before. So before he started playing well and he got those two goals, he was not playing well. And Bednar said, "All right, man, you're out. I'm going to throw McKinnon on there because I'm just going to double shift him, and you're not playing well anyways, so I'm just going to take you off." And then the other thing, I'll go back to the whole hitting thing and playing physical, because one of the things that Patrick Sharp said in the post-game show right after the game ended is he said that the Avalanche, the only way they're going to survive this series is if they match the physicality of the Dallas Stars. And you know what? That sounds, and I'm going to go back and say it again. This sounds exactly like the Blues series.
Yep.
The exact, except we were on the opposite side. We were on the opposite side looking in. And I remember people, the commentators, saying that about the Stars and thinking, you know, they've got a great team. They do. But they just can't match the physicality of the Blues.
And I think that stuff's going to break as soon as one team finally says, okay, we're not going to play playoff hockey. We're going to play the way we play in the regular season. I think once a team finally steps up and does that for a full series, it's going to break this whole stigma of playoff hockey being such a different game than regular season hockey. But it hasn't happened yet. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not a coach. Just my hot take for the day.
Well, and that was obviously one of the things that Bonus told his crew beforehand. He's like, I want you to go out there, and I want you to punish them and get their butts on the ground. And that was obvious when you put Radek Foxa, Andrew Cogliano, and Blake Como on your starting shift. And
they've started them every game.
Yeah, so that's obvious that that's what he wanted. And, you know, Cogliano set the tone really early. And, I mean, within the first 30 seconds of the game, He went after their defense when we got it down deep into their zone. And it was just like that. Immediate.
And like we said before, this team is built for playoffs. That's what we did. We lost to the Blues. We figured it out. We're like, okay, we're going to add some physicality. And, like, Cogliano knows he's not a great player. Like, he knows that. He knows he's not going to score goals and get assists. But he's going to work the hardest of anyone on the ice is what I see every time he's out there. He's always skating the hardest. He's always got a stick on the other guy's stick, and he's always going for the puck. And even if when he gets it, he has no idea what to do with it, he's still a pest, and he's still bothering the other team, and he's just a great, great fourth line player. I think we've got the best fourth line in the league right now.
Well, if you can even call them a fourth line.
Yeah.
I really don't.
They're technically a fourth line because they can't score. Yeah, they can't score at all, so they're a fourth line.
But, I mean, like, when you look at the Stars, all four lines are getting rotated through. That's just how Bonus plays. And, you know,
and that's what the team was built for. Jim Mill adds these guys because they add stuff to the team. He doesn't have any filler guys because the cap room is gone. That's why this team, the build of this team is so great, in my opinion.
Yep, and that's why, and I really think Jim Mill learned from that Blues series that, you know, it doesn't matter what position we get in the regular season. If we can just get into the playoffs, and if I have a team that's built for playoff hockey, we can go deep if we do the right things. And obviously that's been proven true in this. It was not a strong game by either team in any stretch of the imagination, in my opinion. There were stretches when each team was pretty decent and doing pretty good. But honestly, Colorado controlled this game for about 45 minutes of the game. And
I disagree. I think they controlled the second period, definitely. And the very beginning of the third, they looked scary. But I think the first period was obviously the Stars, except for the last, like, minute, where they got, like, four shots, which was crazy. And then the beginning of the third, the Avalanche were pretty much in control. So I think it was Stars in the beginning, Colorado in the middle, Stars in the end. So,
you know,
I think we make them pay more with our three goals. So, and I think that's why Dallas wins so easily. Well,
right. It's because of our start. And you know what? A couple of years ago, we could not start the game to save our lives. So one of the biggest things that I think we can take away from this game is the play of two people. First off, I'll mention Roope Hintz. That guy is starting to get better. I don't know if he's going to be the prolific goal scorer that we need him to be later on, you know, after the playoffs, but he is playing great, And it just shows on that goal was a goal scorer's goal. His goal. It was a goal scorer's goal. And you knew that because when he got the puck, he could have just one-timed it, and whoever was diving in front of him would have blocked the shot probably.
Yeah, I think that's what every other third liner in the league would do.
Yeah, and instead, he took the puck, he waited, he dangled around him, and he waited for his opportunity to take the shot, and he put it in the back of the net. That is a goal scorer's goal. If he can do that, he could easily be one of the Stars' best players.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that opens up some floodwaters for him too, because I think he did have another goal earlier, but it was kind of a scrappy goal. He was kind of just slapping at the puck, and he got it to go in. But this one was a really nice goal. I think if he can find his hands, which he really hasn't had for pretty much the last part of the season before COVID hit and the beginning of this playoffs, but if he can find his hands and he can get around guys the way they were, him and Gurianov were in the regular season, it's going to be real dangerous as we move on.
And you know what's even better is I'll mention Mr. Radek Foxa. You can't not mention him in this game. Just he quietly does everything right. You know, when we got him as a first round pick way back when, we kind of expected him to have a more offensive mentality to the game, and we expected him to score goals and assists and stuff like that. And now he hasn't done that with the Stars organization. But he has completely reinvented himself, his game, and he plays that defensive side of the game. And it is so nice every once in a while to see him get rewarded for his hard work. He quietly does everything right.
That just shows how good of a person and an athlete he was. Because like he was a goal scorer, right? So his entire career before the NHL and before getting drafted, he was the guy. And he was the guy everyone looked to go and score the big goal and the goal in overtime. And he gets to the NHL and he just can't do it. And like he could feel bad for himself and just give up and not really care. But he figures out a way to be of use to his team. He learns how to play defense. He learns how to skate hard. He learns how to grind for every puck. And he's become a great player. After people have said he was a bust too. So lots of people, I remember 3 and 4 years ago, were calling like, oh, Radek Foxa was... he's just so bad. He's a fourth liner with a first overall pick. Not worth it. But he's turned out to be a great player. Maybe not what we had envisioned, but what we need, really.
Right. And you know, a lot of people think that, oh, when you get these first line people, that they have to be like these running gun guys, like a Nathan MacKinnon or like a Rantanen, something like that. Like a really prolific goal scorer or someone you would expect to get points. But you know what makes a great team? Is also their depth. And you know what? We got a first round pick for a depth guy. And it's somebody that we really needed. And the reason why we've been so great defensively, especially the past 2 years, is in part to the play of our forwards. And he's part of that. He is one of the best two-way forwards in the game. Not on a scoring level wise, maybe not like a Patrice Bergeron, but he plays everything right. He plays on the power play. He scored his goal today on the power play. He is a prolific penalty killer. And sometimes when some of the other players are not stepping up, he does. And, you know, any team in the league, if we said that Radek Foxa was on the trading block, all the rest of the 30 teams in the league would be calling Jim Neal and requesting, okay, what do you want for him? Because... He is just that good of a player. Man, I didn't think we were going to get to 30 minutes on this, but it looks like we're going to get to 30 minutes on this.
Yeah, are we out of topics? I think we are.
Yeah, I think we are. Last thing I'll say is that Bonus is doing a great job in playing all four lines. It's like when I look at the Stars, for the most part, all of their forwards are between like, you know, it's very average. It's not like there's one forward that's playing a crap ton more than everybody else. So
I'm happy he's finally done that. What I've been asking him to do all season. Let's just leave the lines and let him figure it out. And I definitely figured it out, and they're on a roll right now, and they keep it going even after a loss, which it would be easy to get on a 5-game winning streak, take a loss like that, and to just get another one, obviously really quick, but great mindset from the Stars, way to hang in there and just come right back at the next game, and obviously from a great start.
Yep. All right, guys, we'll leave y'all at that. We'll see y'all tomorrow night. We got a game. What time is it at, Chris? 8:45?
Late.
Yeah. I don't think it's 9:30 late, but I think it is like 8:45 or something like that. Go look it up yourself. Sorry, we didn't do our job.
this our job is to talk about stuff. We're not trying to tell them what stuff is.
All right, guys, this has been Starcastic Remarks with Ryan and Chris. Thank y'all for tuning in. We are the only Dallas Stars fan-led podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at StarcasticR. You can follow us on our Facebook page. Like us there. And then you can also find us wherever you get your podcasts. Stars win this afternoon/evening with a final score of 5-4. And we will see you guys on the flip side. Good night.
You can do it, Canucks.